Good morning. It's awesome to be able to be here, and what a joy it really is to be able to do this time of year, take this time of year to really focus in on joy and the good things in life, the good things that God has given us. And so let's open in prayer, and we'll go into the. Let me read the from where I'm going to be doing most of my preaching from. In particular, it came from events that I saw play out during this week, and I've titled this message, The God with No Room. In Luke 2:7, it reads as thus, "And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." And that's going to be the crux of the message today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we can come to you. We thank you that we can come into the Holy of Holies. We thank you that we can enter into the throne room of grace with confidence, knowing that you hear and knowing that you care, knowing that in all these things that you will be glorified. We thank you that our prayers, Lord, go up to you as incense, and that they're a pleasurable aroma in your nostrils. And sometimes, Lord, we pray amiss. Sometimes we pray in ways that we probably shouldn't. And I thank you for your grace all the more. I thank you for those times when we don't know how to pray, that we can come to you, and that your Spirit will intercede. Your Spirit will pray on our behalf. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for everything, for all that you do, for all that you said, for all that you did, and for all that you're going to do. Thank you that you are the God who we can lean on, the God who loves us, who brings us hope, and who gives us joy in ways that we could never, never get from the things of this world. Thank you, Lord. We pray now open our eyes, our ears, our minds, and our hearts to these great truths. For your name's sake and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So this week, as I started to put together the message, as I thought about it, as many of you know, I kind of pay attention to the news a little bit, see what's going on in the world, and I check certain websites. And one of the things that that I saw that I pulled off of a... pulled it off of Michael Savage's website, and it was about the only place I could find this article. And the article was really, it says the title of it is Air Force Base Takes Down Nativity Scene Following a Complaint. They were forced by one group of people. They made a phone call to Washington, D.C., as the story goes, and to the representative of the Air Force there, and said, "Hey, this isn't right. This isn't right. Here we are in a season that is marked by the most, or one of the most important dates in history, in the history of mankind. We celebrate it." We don't know exactly when the birth of Jesus came. Some suspect it was in the spring, some in the fall. More than likely not in the winter. But, that being said, this is what we celebrate this time of the year. It has been the tradition of this country for a long time. Not always. Some people were against it at the very beginning. And they had their reasons why. But in this time where it's specifically the look, the hope, the joy, the love that we get to not only just express, but get to enjoy as we have this time of the year where we can go out and see all around us the reminders of the promises of God being met, of the promise of God that was given from so long ago, of a point in time in history when His intervention would be so visible, would be so evident, that only those who would utterly reject God anyways could not see it. Here in our country, this phone call was made. Hey, we're offended by this little display. Now, I mean, think about what the display is, this nativity scene. It's from long ago. It's a picture of Mary, the mother of Jesus, Joseph, her husband, of these shepherds, these animals, this little manger that has this not even proper newborn blankets, the things to keep them warm, just cloths. I like the way the King James says it, the swaddling clothes, swaddling cloths. And they wrapped them in these things. Swaddling clothes, if I'm not mistaken, I think it was sometimes a type of cloth that they would use for the burial. But here he was, this little manger, and of course the baby. The baby. Just as an aside, I've got one of my favorite movies from this time of the year is The Little Drummer Boy. I don't know if you guys have seen that throughout your life. But I love that show. I remember that watching that as a child and just being enamored of it, just watching it going, wow. And I haven't been able to see it in a long time, so I just, my daughter pays for cable. I won't pay for it, but she does. And so I used the DVR to try to find this, and I did. I was kind of troubled because along with this story where the Air Force was forced to take down this, and the thing was they weren't forced to. It was a simple phone call by somebody that was offended. And I'm going someplace with this. But this movie that I wanted to record, I found it. It's being showed on December 21st at 5:30 in the morning. Wow, they really want a lot of people to watch that. And it's one of the major alphabet TV stations that, has put it on. But I was surprised and then not so surprised. This is the time of year that we celebrate the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the time of the year when we celebrate the culmination of the truths of God that came together in this small little baby child in a manger, in a stable where the animals were kept. There was no room found for him there. And seemingly more and more, there's less and less room for Jesus in this world. And the more that I see this, the sadder I get at the very fact that that is seemingly what is happening. Even at this time of year, when we're supposed to be filled with joy. It means so many things, but the biggest thing that I want you to remember and that I want to remind you of is the very fact that He was born, that He came, and that He fulfilled everything. He was going to fulfill everything from this point on. And even though this Air Force just caved in really quick, within 15 minutes, here's one of the mighty arms of the United States military, and one simple phone call 15 minutes later. Just to let you know, this nativity scene, it wasn't even done in a big prominent area. It was on one of the little lakes that they have that's way out of the way. You had to go out of your way to see this little nativity scene. No, it wasn't. It wasn't even really visible from any place of importance. It was put off, and it was done by a volunteer group that asked permission, and they got permission, and they put it up. And within 15 minutes, they responded, take that thing down. And we know, I don't know how many of you know people that are in the military. I know a few, and I know that a lot of them are Christians. When they're sent over to face death, as the famous saying goes, I don't remember who coined it, but he said, the saying goes, that there is no atheists in foxholes. If you remember what a foxhole is in the military, they would dig these holes They got really famous in the First World War, where they would dig these holes that they could jump into and be safe from the fire. And that's the idea. So there's no atheists in the foxhole. They're all praying, God, help me. God, save me. God, get me through this. They're all praying that. And I saw this story and I was like, wow, you know, what is our country coming to? Yeah, it's sad. It's sad. The other thing that makes me sad at this time of the year is the fact that there are so many Christians. We've become so, to use a word that I hear, we've become so wussified in this country. We've become so feminized that men cannot be men anymore, and we can't confront, we can't stand up for what we believe in without expecting some kind of reprisal. But there are those who still do. There are those who still press on. There are those who say, you know what, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that anymore. I'm going to continue on, and I'm going to continue to do this. And this is an important point. This isn't the part of the message, and this isn't a political thing, but it's to let you know and to keep you aware of what's going on around us. Okay? Another article that I read, and this one I pulled off of the Breitbart news agency, and it was written by Dr. Susan Berry. And the title of it is this: Center for American Progress panel, End Christian Privilege in Name of Religious Freedom. A panel discussion sponsored by John Podesta, Center for American Progress. By the way, the reason why I picked this one is John Podesta is somebody that is being touted right now by our president to come in and clean up a lot of the mess that he's made. This is the person, and I wanted to introduce you to him. It's not a political thing. It's just to let you know that this is what's going on, and if we don't have our eyes open, then we deserve what we get. If we don't have our eyes open, that's what we should expect. It says, a panel discussion sponsored by John Podesta, Center for American Progress, on Thursday came, and this was written earlier this week, I think on the 10th. On Thursday came to the conclusion that Christian conservatives use religion as a justification for their discriminatory behavior. Americans, they argue, will never enjoy full religious freedom until Christians' claims for religious liberty are defeated. That's what our administration, what the people in power are looking for. And I tell you that to warn you, but I also mention it. The main point of the message is that she gave birth to her firstborn, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger because this is why she did this. They had to go to a stable. They had to find a stall. They had to find a little manger. They had to do all these things because there was no room for them in the inn. There's no room for them in this world. In the world and the way that it, in the spirit of this age, there's no room for Jesus. There's no room for the story. There's no room for the fulfillment of what God has spoken from ancient times. There's no room for that. And it's becoming more and more and more of a common idea that people who don't know Christ are being infiltrated with. All around them. All around them, they're getting this message that there is no room for that. There's no room for that in the public square. You can't say that in public. One of my favorite stores that I shop at in I think it was in Oregon, or it might have been in Canada. It was in Canada. I like that store. I like to shop there. I do most of my shopping there for my groceries and my coffee and things that I really like. And the name of it is Winco. But a misguided employee went out and told two young ladies that they were not welcome there doing what they were doing. What offense could they have been guilty of? What could they have possibly been doing that they were told, you're not welcome here on our property, you're not welcome here by us? What terrible crime could they be committing? What horrible thing? Can you guess? They were singing carols, Christmas carols, to the people as they came through and went out. That's all they were doing. Now, Winco, of course, said, hey, that's not our policy. It's not in our policy that we kick people off that stuff, because they don't want that bad publicity. But one individual there actually had the audacity to go out and tell these two young ladies who were singing, and I'm sure they more than likely had beautiful voices. I didn't have a recording or anything, but they were just singing carols. How innocent is that? Just singing to the people as they went in their drudgery, having to do whatever they had to do, just to hear. I remember once when I was in Idaho, I was visiting my mom about this time of the year, and I remember, I just couldn't help it, I was just humming these Christmas carols. And I remember as I was going into an Albertsons, so a young lady passed by, and I was waiting for my brother there at the door, because he was taking forever, frustrating me. But I was just humming these songs, and she just came up, she said, keep humming. That just really made me feel a lot better. And that's all these ladies were doing. They were just sharing the very truths of what God has done, what God has done for us, what God has done for all of us. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. He sent that son, and he came and fulfilled all those prophecies of old. God himself said, look, I'm going to give you a sign in Isaiah chapter 9. And in Isaiah chapter 7, God had given him a sign, a glint of hope. Because remember, Isaiah had said, look, the people that are walking in darkness. Remember I said that last week. Imagine yourself in darkness walking. Not fun when you can't see where you're going. And you're bumping into things. And your toes are killing you. And your head's hurt. And all these things because you're bumping into things that you can't see because you're walking in darkness. And he said, the people that are walking in darkness have seen a great light. And it was speaking of the day of when this promised one was to come. And it says that God gave him hope. Even though there was no room in the inn for this child, for this promised one, for this one that was expected, for this one that people had been longing for this one that people had read about for so many hundreds, if not thousands of years. And we're reading about this account of one that was going to come and set them free. When Mary was visited by an angel and she told him that these things were going to be, she had the proper question. Because he said, you're going to be with child and he will be the Son of God. And the Holy Spirit will come upon you. She's, how's this going to be? I've never been with a man. She was pure of heart, pure of mind. She was untouched by man in that way. She hadn't been physically intimate with a man. So she rightfully says, how's that going to happen? How is this impossible? But when he was explaining to her these things, he even went so far as to say, and this is what you're going to name him. This is what you're going to name him. You're going to name him in the Greek, Jesus. Jesus. The Greek, Jesus, is how it's pronounced. Jesus, kind of it's a masculine noun, Jesus. It's from the Hebrew, call, or the name that we use, Joshua. But what it means is Yahweh saves. Amen. Yahweh saves. This is the name that you're going to give this child that's going to be born to you, not because of what man has done. Not because because of the natural things. This was a fulfillment of, and I will put enmity between your seed, the seed of the serpent, and the seed of the woman. And remember, as I've always said, that the woman is not the one that carries the seed. The man is. There was already something supernatural that was going on here. There was already a little hint of something that was going to happen. And here, the angel Gabriel announcing this sign and says, you will name him Jesus. This is going to be his name. This isn't the first time we've heard this. Even her aunt, when her uncle was visited by an angel in his old age, this amazing story. You're going to have a child. How's this possible? At my age? Not to mention my wife. And I love the way that he says it. She's along in years. He didn't dare say, she's old. She's old. She's beyond this. And the angel, of course, said, because you didn't believe what I said, he had to suffer what he did. But he did say the same thing. Name specifically, this is going to be his name. This is what God's purpose is. God's purpose was to send his son and to do it in such a way that was not what you and I would expect. That was his plan all along. And frankly, I think that if I were back there, and I think if most of us were back there in that time, we probably would have thought the same thing as the majority of those people who said, oh, no way. Yeah. There would have been doubt. There would have been all these things. But the King of the world, the Savior, born there? No way. Not possible. That's not what the Scriptures teach. They teach something different. When we're looking at the Scriptures, when we're looking at the Old Testament, when we're looking at the New Testament, with the eyes of the world, and we all have it. We all have that. We all suffer from that. When we look at it, the Bible, through the eyes of the world rather than through the eyes of the Spirit. When we look with the eye instead of through the eye, we can implant our own misguided ideas. This was God's plan all along, to send this child of His, this amazing little person. It says in Isaiah 53:3 that He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And like one from whom men hide their face, He was despised and we did not esteem Him. This is, of course, speaking of Jesus as a man, and as he approached that place that he was destined for. But before that, there was this event. One of the most important events in the history of all mankind. From the beginning of time all the way to the end of time, this is one of the most important dates in the events in the history of mankind. And when we don't approach this time of the year with that mindset, we miss it. We miss the whole thing when we don't see the importance of it. It is a time of joy, and it is a time of hope, and it is a time of love. It is a time of peace. It's a time of giving, and it's a time of sharing. It's all these things. But the implications of this day are so important. And sometimes when we look at this time of the year and approach it with the mindset of the world, we miss the real reason for Christmas. It's becoming more and more evident in this country right now that there is no room. There's less and less room for Jesus. And that's when we need to decide, are we going to go along with that or are we not? Are we going to give people the hope that they need, the hope that they desire? You see, the Bible tells us clearly that Jesus came and He came to fulfill all those things. And that the angels looked upon this whole thing with wonder and were trying to figure out, what is He doing? Can you imagine, if you will, just go with me for a moment, imagine being in eternity with God Himself, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And being an angel and seeing these things, you got to see the earth being created and God's amazing work. And what does it say? All things were created through Him and by Him and for Him. And whatever was made by Him, and nothing that was made without Him. It was all by Jesus. Imagine that. And then Jesus is a human baby? Born in a barn with the animals? The lowliest? There's not even a place for Him? No wonder they were confused. Well, who knows the mind of God? God. God does. And even they were at wonder with all these things that were happening. And even though there was no room then, there's still the same thing plays out today, more and more. There's no room for Jesus. There's no room for Jesus. The main thing that I want to leave you with is we do have hope. We do have joy. We do have love. We have love like we've never experienced when we step into that love of Christ, when we've had that face-to-face encounter and understood that we're sorry sinners, deserving of God's wrath, deserving of God's judgment. When we've come face to face with who Jesus is, we no longer hold on to this falsehood, this idea that, oh, I'm a good person. No, because we see ourselves in light of who He is. And even though the world has no room, when we make room for Him, I love what He says, I will abide in you. I'll make my home there. But Jesus isn't alone in the sense that it's God Himself in His entirety. And I don't understand that. It's a mystery to me. Because you don't have just Jesus living in your heart when you come and ask Him. When you come to your senses like the prodigal son and realize, I don't deserve anything but your judgment because of the sinner that I am. When we receive Christ, the greatest gift of all, the fullness of the Godhead dwells in us. I don't know what you guys are expecting this year and Christmas and all these things, but when I sit and think about that, the more and more I get blown away. The fullness of the Godhead in here, somehow. And I'm guilty of what? And sometimes I stumble and I'm guilty of what? And He resides here. I don't understand this mystery. I don't understand it, but it gives me hope. It gives me joy and it brings me peace. And I know that I'm loved. The world can reject me as much as it wants, but I know that I'm loved. I know that I'm loved enough that God, the Creator of heaven and the earth, this time I can rejoice at the fact that He sent His Son and that His Son fulfilled all these things. And these things were foretold. For behold, a virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son. And you shall call His name, or He shall be called Emmanuel. God with us. That's what He's going to be called. God with us. Not a prophet with us, not a great teacher with us, not a real super moral guy, not a really nice guy, not all these things. God with us. It was foretelling. And the question that I have for you to ask yourself is God with you? Is God with you? That's the thing to grasp onto. That's the thing to hold on to. Is He with you? Have you made room for this little child? Have you made room for this person that lived and fulfilled, that came to fulfill all of the law and all of the prophets, that came to make all these things true, and that eventually would die on the cross, that would give His life in exchange for yours, that would suffer all the indignities of the cross to come, this perfect, holy child that would one day die on that cross for you and for me, for all that we have done, so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be redeemed, so that we could be renewed, so that we could be resurrected, so that we could know that we're loved, so that we can know that we can love. And this is the great hope, that even though the world has less and less room for Jesus, are you making room for Him this season? For Him. Because when you make room for Him, as He said, He says, when you abide in Me, out of you will flow living waters from deep within you. Somebody's going to come along in your path and they're going to be thirsty. And you're going to have water that they can drink that they've never tasted before, that they've never had before. And they're going to be rejuvenated and they're going to be renewed. Are you making room for Him this season? Do you have room? If not, make room. Make room for this little one who came so that you can be saved, so that you can be renewed. It's an amazing time of the year that we can celebrate and really focus in on what God has done and what God has done in spite of what the world wants to do, that we as Christians can grasp hold of these great truths and we can share them with our children. One of the great joys that I've had this season so far is my two-and-a-half-year-old little granddaughter. I started reading her the Christmas story. She has no idea what I'm reading, because I'm reading it right out of here. But all she knows is every once in a while she'll just come over, and she'll come over to my right side where I keep this, and she'll pick it up, and she'll just read, people. She has no clue what I'm reading. She wants to be there. She wants to hear these stories, and I can explain that to her. And I need to make room. I need to shut off the TV. I need to shut off the sound. I need to do all that stuff. I need to make room so that God, I see it as, for me, I see it as God trying to make room in her little heart for these great truths. And even my grandson, I gave him a little Bible. It's called a comic book Bible, and maybe you've seen it. But he goes through there, and he was looking at it, and he came to me and he said, "Peepa, I think this was the saddest time, one of the saddest times in the Bible." I said, What sad time are you talking about? And he's looking at the thing and he shows me, he goes, "That time when that man was killing all the babies." And this is a little 7-year-old. He said, "You know, you're right, it is one of the saddest times in the history of mankind. It is one of the saddest times." I said, "But there was an even sadder time. And I'll share that with you some other time." But it's interesting to watch. I need to make room. Are you making room? I pray that you will, and I pray that you do. Make room for this Jesus, or as we say in Spanish, Jesus, Jesus. Make room for Him, so that you can share with others who may not have room. There's others out there that don't have room because they've never heard the story. The boys at the school, the new boys that we got to share with last Some of them knew the story. Some of them had it all askew. And some of them, I think, maybe, as Kerry said, had never heard it. Are we making room for this amazing God? This amazing God who wants to come and dwell within man, who wants to be God with us. What other God do you know of that says that? Think about that. What other God? What other mythological God says, I want to be God with you, and I will come to you? There's only one. Make room for Him this year. Make room for Him to share with others. Don't be like the world, and don't look at this story, and don't look at this time of the year through the eyes of the world, which all of us can be guilty of. I can be just as guilty as anyone, and I can forget. But when I see it through these eyes, it's when I see it through this lens, when I see it through the lens that matters, the lens that clears out all distortion, that clears out all false ideas, that clears out all those things, if we'll look at it with the intended purpose. Are you making room for God this year, in spite of all that you're going through? You can make room for Him. You can repent. Jesus said when He first began His ministry, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Even as believers, we can repent of those things that we know that we're guilty of, and we need to change. We can repent. And that's the great news, is we have that. That's the good news, is we can come to Him. That's the great news, that curtain was torn in the Holy of Holies so that we can come to Him into the throne room of grace. And we can go confidently, knowing that He hears, knowing that He answers, knowing that He's seeking those whose heart is totally His. And we can do that today. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank You so much for Your great love and for the promise that was fulfilled. We thank You for the great truth that You came and that You changed everything, that You came and You made all things new, and that You came to redeem us and to set us free, that You came, as Your name says, that You are salvation, that You are the one who saves and the only one who can save, and that You came to fulfill all those things so that we could be set free, and so that You could be glorified, so that we could glorify You in this place, on this earth, at this time, for Your name's sake. Lord, we pray that You would just draw those who might hear this message and come and ask for forgiveness and receive salvation and make room for You so that they can share with others the room that they've made. Lord, I pray that You would make that room in us for Your name's sake, and that You would be glorified. Lord, thank You for all that You do and for all that You're going to do. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.